Has anyone seen Reverend James? He was just sitting here with his wife a few minutes ago. Where did they go? Oh, really? I did hear his wife say, I want lunch and I want it now. Today is Valentine's Day. Well, maybe he'll be here in a few minutes.
Our scripture reading for today is from Hosea 1, verses 2 and 3, and 2:14. When the Lord began speaking through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go and marry an unfaithful woman and have unfaithful children, because the people in this country have been completely unfaithful to the Lord. So Hosea married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Hosea's son. And now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start all over again. I'm taking her back out into the wilderness where we had our first date, and I'll court her. I'll give her bouquets of roses. I'll turn Heartbreak Valley into acres of hope. She'll respond like she did as a young girl, those days when she was fresh out of Egypt. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Good morning. Pastor Kevin is out of the sanctuary and invited me to share in his absence the story of Hosea and Gomer. It's a story of unusual hope. What is hope? Hope is a belief in a positive outcome related to events and circumstances in one's life. Hosea, which means salvation, is the first of the 12 minor prophets, called minor not because they are of less importance, but because the books are shorter. In ancient Hebrew manuscripts, the collection of the minor prophets was written on one scroll called the Book of the 12. Hosea's message was primarily for the northern kingdom of Israel, although he occasionally refers to the southern kingdom of Judah. His prophecy began with the Jeroboam II. When the northern kingdom of Israel was at its zenith, and continued for the next 40 years until just before Samaria fell to Assyria in 722 B.C. About 200 years before the time of Hosea, the 10 northern tribes, Israel, had separated from the southern tribes of Judah and set up an independent kingdom. When Hosea arrived on the scene, Israel was experiencing the greatest time of peace and national prosperity since the separation. However, the good times were not to last, as social injustice, political disorder, and moral decay began to eat away at the fabric of the society. The central message of Hosea is grounded in the fact that Israel has violated its relationship with Yahweh. Because the nation does not repent of its sins, it will suffer judgment. Nevertheless, the promise is that someday Israel will sincerely return to Yahweh and the experience full restoration and blessings. Hosea?
My Lord.
I must speak to you concerning the infidelity of my people. You do remember our covenantal agreement.
Yes.
That Israel will be my people and that I would be her God. But now, Hosea, because of her apostasy, her idolatry, and her immorality, her goodness has become like the morning dew. It has faded away. Hosea, I will save Israel, not by how, nor by sword, nor by battle, nor by horsemen, but I will save her by the power of my love. You see, I need a living demonstration. I want you to be my visible allegory, my living dramatization, so that my people will understand the nature and essence of my message. However, Hosea, although I have chosen you as the conduit through which my message will travel, I need to inform you that additional preparation is needed before you are sufficiently ready to represent me. First, go and marry Gomer, the most beautiful girl in Israel. Second, you and Gomer will have three children. The children will be named to symbolize judgment. Jezreel means God scatters or God will sow. Lo rumama means not obtained mercy or not pitied. Lo ami means not my people. Thirdly, God, Gomer will be unfaithful to you as Israel has been unfaithful to me. You can only win her back by loving her unconditionally. Now, go into the courtyard, Hosea, and get your wife.
Yes, my Lord. I will head into the courtyard and find my wife. Gomer, how are you?
Hello.
Will you marry me and be my wife and have my children?
I will marry you and I'll have your children.
Thank you. And I'm going to do something very unusual because in Japan, the men receive the gifts from the ladies. But since I was born in USA, I have some bling bling and spling spling that I want to share with you. All right.
Thank you, my love.
You're welcome, darling. Good morning. My name is Jose. I'm one of the 12 minor prophets prophesying during the 700 BC. God called me to be a conduit, a living example, living model to demonstrate his love for his people called Israel. Israel has been unfaithful to God. And so God wants me to represent him and my beautiful bride, the most beautiful girl in all of Israel, Gomer, will represent his people. It is a great journey that we're now embarking upon to have this opportunity to be in marriage. Oh, I'm so excited as a new husband to have a wife who will have my children, clean the home and take care of everything. What else can a man ask for? But I know that you've heard the news. Perhaps you're familiar that sometimes, even in a married home among the prophet, there can be strife, there can be difficulty, there can be moments of dissension. But yet God wanted me to represent him, how God is faithful, how God loves unconditionally. He keeps on loving. Well, I wasn't prepared. One day, out of nowhere, my bride, Gomer, she came to share some news that I was not prepared for and my ears was not prepare to hear.
Jose.
Yes, my love.
We must talk.
Yes.
You're a good man.
Yes, the best.
Okay. I have something to tell you then.
Okay.
You're a good man.
Yes, the best.
And I want you to know that I've tried. I've really tried my hardest. But this wife and mother stuff, it is so overrated. The washing, the cooking, the cleaning, the laundry, and those children of yours.
Mommy.
Yes. I can't do it anymore. I can't take it. Is this how you and your God want me to live? In this hopeless and boring marriage? I'm going back where I belong. I'm leaving.
Leaving?
I'm leaving.
What about the rain?
Oh. I've got to go. I can't take it.
Well. Here am I, Jose, a prophet of God who has been called to prophesy to a nation. And yet, I am now alone. My beautiful bride has left me. I don't know. Maybe she's in Vegas. And you know what goes on in Vegas? Stays in Vegas. But I want to ask you the question. Perhaps you know. Chester, maybe you know. You're familiar with the Chalites, right? You remember that tune?
No.
Have you seen her?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me, have you seen her?
No, I haven't seen her.
Why, oh why, did she have to go and go away? I'm so used to having someone to lean on, but I'm lost. Baby, I'm lost. I'm lost without my lover and my friend, Gomer. How in the world can I have hope and you as the people of God have in your sanctuary a sign right here on the table you have on this sacred table with the light on as it demonstrates hope? But yet in my life, there's no light on. It is darkness and in despair. It is a moment of bleakness because my lover is gone. Now, I know you're so pious and you're so holy. You heard the preacher here share on Ash Wednesday night that now we have entered a period of the Lenten season, a time for self-examination, self-denial. And we're to give up things and we're to partake things that will help us on our spiritual journey. And she had the audacity to deal with one that I'm dealing with now, that I'm trying to conquer, but yet it keeps conquering me. She challenged us to pull away from having a donut 40 days and 40 nights. So I have agreed to participate on Ash Wednesday. I told the Lord that I'm not going to have one donut unless I see the hot sign on the Krispy Kreme donut window. Well, I was in Daytona and I drove around 10 times around Krispy Kreme, and guess what happened? The light came on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. But now there's darkness in my life. There's sadness in my life. There's gloom and despair. As a prophet, I've been called out by God. Unlike those other long-winded prophets, my book is just short. Just look in the canon. Look in the Old Testament. I'm not one of those long-winded preachers like Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah. My book is a short book. It's really referred to as one of the 12 minor prophets' books. Oh, you heard about my contemporary Michael, Amos, Nahum, Habakkuk, Malachi. You've heard how we just have this small nugget. In fact, if you look at my book, you can read it even today. It won't take long. But yet, I'm representing God. Unlike any other prophet, because Ezekiel, when he prophesied it, God told him to go speak to dead, dry bones. You remember Jonah? God told him to go prophesy. And what did Jonah do? He decided he would get on a boat, on a cruise. Some of you have been on that cruise ship with Jonah. And sailed off to sea in the opposite direction. But yet, when the waves got heavy, they tossed Jonah overboard. And he ended up in the belly of a whale. And when he landed to shore, guess what? It was at the same spot that God told him to go and prophesy. That's a good lesson for you and for me. When God tells us to go, we should do what? Go. We should listen to our God. Just like someone said in the choir, now. Well, here I am, Hosea, a prophet who prophesied during the northern kingdom of Israel and even talked about what was going on in the southern kingdom. But in particular, God had me to deal with the northern kingdom because of the sins of his people. God's heart is now broken. God has a sense of being abandoned, that his love affair has now taken a turn for the worse. It's like a baby crying out, I too, is crying out because my love affair has turned sour. I had a sense of abandonment. Have you ever been there? Searching for love, willing to give love, but yet not getting love back. But God is reminding us that he keeps on loving us unconditionally. He has that love for you and for me. It reminds me of a young woman. Her name was Elizabeth Barrett. And she lived in a town, a little small town in England called Hope Inns. Hope Inns. In that town, she experienced two tragedies. One, she was diagnosed with lung disease as a teenager. And secondly, her brother, Edward, died in a boating accident. And she decided that she would stay in her room, and she ended up in a state of depression. But while in her room, she decided she would start writing out of her own experiences. And she would write poems and become a poet. And she was able to have her poems to go forth and have readers to read her poems. And one interesting young man not only read her poem, he wanted to meet her. His name was Robert Browning. Robert Browning met her, and to make a long story short, they fell in love. He helped to bring her out of depression. He helped her with selfhood and self-awareness. So much so, they moved to Italy. Her poems were published. And one poem continues to be among those in English literature that's well famous and well known. Just the first 21 words. How do I love you? Let me count the ways. I love thee in the depth, the breadth, and the height my soul can reach. She found true love. God, our God, He loves us over and over again. How much does God love thee? Let me count the ways. He loves us by the depth, the breadth, and the height that His soul can reach for you and for me. He loves us so much, He gave His only begotten Son to die on a cross for you and for me. That's love. That's unconditional love. And you have in your Bibles from the pen of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Paul starts out by reminding us, though I may have the tongues of men, of angels, but have not love, I'm only a noisy cymbal. Then Paul continues to describe love. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not boastful. Love is not envious. Love suffers long. Love never ends. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Then he closes by giving us three virtues. He says, faith, hope, and what? Love. But the greatest of these is love. That's what I was experiencing when I married Gomer. Many of you were there at the wedding. But now I have a sense of abandonment. My lover is gone. And I know you probably have it on social media. You've been talking about it even in the church. You say you don't gossip, but we know that's not true. Many of you saying, have you heard the news about Jose and his wife? How now she's gone out into the world. She's on the auction block. She really is a prostitute. But let me tell you, prostitution is not only those who dip and dabble in affairs and adultery, but listen well, it's also those who worship idol things. Israel was worshiping idol gods and was not worshiping the true and living God. And God was not pleased. But yet God was still seeking back a way for Israel to love him. You heard about the names of my children, how one means scattered, the other means no mercy, the other one means not my people. But yet God is faithful and God is loving. He is faithful and just and will cleanse us of all of our sins and unrighteousness and take us back as his own. Yes, Gomer, her beauty is gone, and now she's on the auction block. And perhaps you've heard the auctioneer shares as she's on that auction block. Can't you hear the auctioneer?
We have a woman here who has lost her beauty. Her name is Gomer. She was 36, 24, 36, a brick house.
A brick house.
Anybody here willing to pay the price? She will be a slave for you.
I'll pay the price. I'll pay the price. I'll make it rain. I'll take Gomer back.
Going once, twice, sold to Hosea, $15.
Amen. Gomer, my lover, I'm happy to have you back.
Hosea, would you allow me to be one of your servants, please?
My children don't need a servant. They need a mother, and I need a wife. I'm happy to have you back. So much so, I have you roses because I love you. And remember, roses are red and violets are blue. Baby, I'm happy to have you back too. Amen.